This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 29th, episode 1029, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
The hottest ticket for this weekend is to the Breeders' Cup race at Santa Anita.
A big horse race this weekend. Perhaps you heard about it.
$25.5 million here at stake on Friday and Saturday.
This is the Super Bowl of horse racing.
Two huge days of racing in famed Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky.
Every horse that's in here is in here for a reason. They're all very talented. Any given day, they could all jump up and run this super race.
When they're in the starting gate, it's like they're at the line of scrimmage. That gate opens, and then all heck breaks loose.
Oh, yeah, that is, we're playing Breeders' Cup stuff because I'm actually not going to be on the show Friday because I'm heading to Los Angeles, California to go to the Breeders' Cup. I'm so excited.
I did that to get you motivated.
My blood started like getting up, you know, ready for that. But one thing to suck it right back down is what Facebook and what you guys posted on Facebook. Oh, my gosh. So we ask you what movies made you cry. You guys, I literally was tearing up remembering the movies that you guys were talking about. That's how bad it is to see these names of these movies that just affect me in such an emotional way. And, oh, my gosh, tons and tons of comments, Glenn. There were more people than just Saving Private Ryan. That's not the only movie that makes people cry.
I know. You know what surprised me about the list is I thought we would see, with that many comments, you know, I thought we would see a trend, but there really wasn't. It was all over the place.
Let's see. It started, you know, of course, the easy ones, War Horse, Black Beauty. Those were very popular. But Homeward Bound, somebody said they cried in Terminator 2. I was like, what are you talking about? Beaches, Farlap. Oh, my God, Farlap. I can't even watch that movie anymore.
That's several votes for that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, have you ever seen Farlap, Glenn?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, Jennifer, have you ever seen Farlap?
I don't think she has.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Okay, Farlap.
I have not. And I'm a crier, so that would be a bad idea.
Listen, if you need to just sit down and let it go, you need to, like, release some demons, you just sit down with Farlap. It's the same guy that starred in The Man from Snowy River, okay? His name is Tom Berlins, and he's a Gerini, and it's the same guy, and it's the story of the Australian racehorse legend Farlap. And, oh, my God, just seeing the name Farlap gives me goosebumps as far as crying the movie. But one I haven't seen is Hachi, A Dog's Tale, and a lot of people put that movie. And is that the Richard Gere movie?
Yeah, we've heard about that movie before. We talked about it on one of our shows a long time ago. And apparently it is one of those movies that the dog gets killed or something, hit by a train. I don't know. It was something bizarre. All I remember is little bits and pieces of this and people saying, oh, my God, you don't want to watch this. It's just going to send you down the road.
I will have to stay away from that one. And like Shel Gibson wrote The Red Pony. I read the book. We've discussed this. The Red Pony, when I was a kid, it's a John Steinbeck book. And I thought, oh, it's a book about a red pony. Oh, my God. It's graphic and it's terrible. And I, oh, you would
I like
never
how
be the
Rhonda,
same. I read it like 12.
I like how Rhonda said, Secretariat from the funeral at the beginning all the way through the end.
amen. That's how I watch Seabiscuit with Tobey Maguire. I literally cried through the whole thing. I was like, oh, my God. I just cried through the whole thing. Somebody wrote, though, Where the Red Fern Grows and Old Yeller. Like, those aren't just childhood. Your parents put that movie on to make you rip your heart out. Seriously. Old Yeller and Where the Red Fern Grows. So terrible. So thanks, you guys, for taking me down memory lane. I think I've seen almost every one of these, and I've cried along with all of you and every single one of them. Oh, the Barbaro documentary. Oh, my gosh. So Alex,
yeah,
put that. Well, oops, girl.
That'll do it to anybody, that one.
You have no heart if you don't cry during that.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you guys, thank you very much for posting all of those. I remembered I need to catch up on a lot of my movie viewing, and I also realized that I'm never going to watch these certain ones again. So there you go. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, we've got the Breeders' Cup coming up this weekend. So get out your stubby pencil and join the fun as we make our pitiful picks for this weekend's self-proclaimed World Championships of Thoroughbred Racing. And then mid-show, the velvet voice of Horse and Country TV, that would be Victoria Spicer, graces the airwaves with the European Report. And coming down the home stretch, skimming the rail, sharp edge of hilarity, like Mind That Bird, the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, we welcome singer, songwriter, and real deal cowgirl, Kristen Harris. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily Winnie goes out to one of our listeners who we had on the show here not too long ago, reporting on the L.A. Masters jumping thing that happened out in Los Angeles. Her name is Susan Friedland-Smith. She sent me a note, and she said, you know, you said something about OTTBs when you spoke to Miss Connecticut on Monday, resonating with me. I wanted to share. I think you said OTTBs are not for everyone, but they are for a lot of people. Well, she got, and you're going to remember this name, Jamie, she got a son of Tiz now, and who was a Breeders' Cup winner back in the early 2000s, and this horse's name is Tiz a Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T.
Oh, neat.
So Tiz a Knight, she got a son, and she said she just got him a month ago, and she said, every day I fall in love with him more. This past Saturday, I noticed a fire in the distance, and I had mounted and began warming up in the arena. Long story short, a TV news helicopter flew near us en route to the fire. My heart stopped, but Knight kept trotting, no big deal. About 10 minutes into my ride, the same helicopter circled back and literally flew over the arena. I swear it was only 200 feet above us. Knight did not panic, did not spook, did not even acknowledge anything out of the ordinary was happening, and he was what you call a green OTTB. Meanwhile, I was having a heart attack. So what she went on to talk about how she got one of the good ones, and she's so thrilled. So, you know, there are, just like any other breed, you know, there are the sensible ones and the not-so-sensible ones. But she got, apparently, a son of Tizno turned out to be a sensible one. So she's very happy with him. And she's heading off to Galway.
Where does one find a sensible one? I mean, like, because I prefer the unsensible, the non-sensible ones.
The horse, when it fills out its adoption application,
right?
Puts I'm sensible. Yeah, that's right. Doesn't happen.
No. No, my name is Edward. I can or sideways. Sorry.
The entire cross-country course. She is going to be joining us hopefully Monday morning to give us, she's heading out to cover for her blog. She's heading out to cover Galway Downs, the event out in California that you usually go to. So you're not going to be there because you're going to be at the Breeders' Cup. So hopefully Susan can stop by Monday morning and give us a report on how everything went at Galway Downs.
Cool.
Yeah. And I wanted to also mention real quick about Galway Downs. There is some TV coverage video coverage being done by the Professional Riders Organization and Horse Nation together. And the Professional Riders Organization does our eventing radio show every week. We just did
They're going to be at Galway too, by the way. They're going to be, Samantha's going too.
Yes, Samantha Clark from the Eventing Radio Show is going to be there covering it. And you can find out more details. Just go to the Professional Riders Organization websites. Just Google Professional Riders Organization. It'll come up. And we'll also have a link to the coverage on the Eventing Radio Show website at eventingradio.com. So that's all happening. Lots of stuff going on this weekend.
My turn. Well, my daily Winnie is going to go to Diane Berto. Diane is the wife of Joseph, who is the inventor of the flexing forks. It's just a family affair here on Horses in the Morning. Well, she sent me this post yesterday, this message, tagged me in a post on Facebook that basically said, here you go, Jamie. Joseph told me to send this to you. And it is the Department of Animal Care and Control, County of Los Angeles. They have confiscated, or somebody has surrendered, 5 Andalusians. Five flipping Andalusians have been handed over to the Animal Care and Control County of Los Angeles. Now, who's going to be in Los Angeles this weekend? Raise your hand. Oh, wait, that's me. That has my hand raised because that's where the Breeders' Cup is. That it is only my duty as a horse person that's already going there that we need to bring the trailer. I really think it needs to be done. So,
Diane,
let
me start with this. Diane, you're fired as a listener. Okay, now let me go. There's a link here you put. Let me go there. I have not gone yet to look at these.
Oh my God.
These
sad.
Things are scooter skinny. These are skinny.
I know. They need me, Glenn. They need me. So
they don't look
one
like
of...
Andalusians or anything else. You wouldn't tell what breed they are from these pictures.
No.
Oh,
you
my
can't
God.
Tell. And there's a lot of Iberian horses in California, so it doesn't surprise me that this could happen because there's a lot of, unfortunately, it's very close to a little town in Mexico that kind of stuffs them right up the border, and they sell for a lot of money here in the United States, and somebody did not take care of them, and they are super scooter skinny. And I think that looking at them, I think I can bend the rule of my no mare policy because they're all mares. So I think what I need to do is I need to go visit them and I need to spend some time with them. There's a couple that are 15, but there's also one that's 5 and one that's 7. And I'm thinking that's a great age. I don't know if they're broke to rot. I don't know nothing about nothing, but I do know that I showed this to Chad last night.
What did he say?
We're taking our trailer to Los Angeles, babe. There's Andalusians. I showed the picture. He goes, I guess that's one way to get an Andalusian, isn't it? he's got to like the price, $400. I don't have to import a $30,000 horse from Spain. I can just go to L.A. and get a starved half-to-death one for $400.
Nortenia is my favorite, the 5-year-old. Nortenia, she's kind of cute. I mean, in a very starved, pathetic way.
Yeah, she's really cute. And I can't even tell what's going on with the 7-year-old. These are really sad cases. And looking down through the list of horses that they do have on this page, just all of these guys are so sad. It's like MASH horses, but like...
Jane, you already have what? Your chicken, you have some kind of rodent. What rodent do you have again?
I don't have any rodents anymore. Guinea pigs, Glenn.
Guinea pigs. You have guinea pigs.
They're not rodents.
You have chickens. You have everything. Now, you could, while you have the trailer there, getting your $400 starved Andalusian, there are pot-bellied pigs on this list. There's a goat. You could take a pig and a goat home, too.
Do you know what's funny is I want a pig so bad. Oh, I just want to squeeze it. I want a little mini pot-bellied pig. But that is the one animal in my neighborhood that's not allowed. The one.
It's a pig.
You're not allowed to have
the goat?
Pigs. That's
how about the fat goat? Thing. It's a fat goat. You wouldn't have to worry about the goat. It's not starving. It's pretty fat.
The goat's in good shape. No, I don't need a goat. I'm good. I've got enough grazers, but apparently pigs are not allowed. So I do see that there's just so many horses on this website. How can there be so many people that starve animals? How is that possible? You people are terrible. There's a ton of skinny ones. Anyway, so I'm going to go to Los Angeles, and we're going to work on the husband to do in the trailer, if you know what I mean. I'm going to call, though, and just see what's kind of going on.
Yeah,
maybe
they'll go
need
quick.
Help.
Maybe they'll go quick. You don't know.
Well, it said there was 5, and there's only 4 listed on the site, so maybe one's already gone, but, you know, we'll see. See what happens.
I know you're staying with your relatives. Do they have room to park the trailer? That's the first
question. That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, we can't even barely park our car. So maybe we're going to have to go straight to this place. And yeah, see, I'm screwed. Like, there's nowhere to park it because, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, we can figure it out. Where there's a will, there's a way. Gosh darn it.
Well, Robin Donahue just posted, just like ice cream, there's always room for an Andalusian. So there you go.
Amen, sister. I mean, she's the one that's been texting me all sorts of Andalusians in Texas. I don't need another horse right now, but I do need one of these. I think it needs my help.
There you go. And you've figured out which one you're going to get rid of that you currently have? Because that's the rule.
I'll get rid of several of them. Y'all can have them. Just kidding.
All right, let's talk about the other reason why you're going to California. And by the way, later in the show, I got to tell you this. I was watching Shark Tank. I always watch Shark Tank. I love Shark Tank. I watch it on Saturday morning when I get up. It's my little time. I just sit there by myself and I watch Shark Tank. I don't know if I'm just cruel and like to see people's hopes and ambitions and lifetime dreams get crushed by a bunch of sharks. Or what. But anyway, I love Shark Tank. And then there was a surprise at the end of Shark Tank that involved horses. And I have the audio from that. We'll play that later in the show, okay?
All right. We will. But let's do some Breeders' Cup picks because I'm not going to be here Friday. And, you know, usually we have to make our picks and we have to see who wins on Monday. I would like to check Jennifer. If you could tell me which one of us usually wins in our picks after some big race.
That would usually be Glenn.
Yes, that's correct. I won. No. If you remember this past year, I have picked many winners, including California Crown.
I think you said usually. I said usually wins, and that would be me. Thank you very much.
Why don't we say most recent winners? The most recent would be me.
We need to get our pens and pieces
of
paper down.
There's a lot of races. You usually narrow it down to a couple. So which races are we going to go with?
Let's start with the one that's going to be important to those of us come next spring. This is the Sentient Jet Juvenile. Okay, the Sentient Jet Juvenile. And why this race is important is because these are all the 2-year-olds that have had a really great year. They come together for this championship, and most likely these are going to be the ones that you see on the road to the Kentucky Derby next year, God willing. So we're just going to go through these. I want you guys to make your picks just based on the names. You know, we're not going to get scientific about it, and then Jennifer's going to write these down, and then we'll find out kind of who is the winner on Monday, but also who are you predicting that's going to be in the future. You know, did you pick California Chrome this time last year? No, because he wasn't there, but there could be new ones, it could be the classic ones, who knows. So we're going to get to know these guys. So you ready?
I'm ready. Okay, I'm going by name here. So we're just picking the winner, or are we picking like 3?
Just pick the winner. Sentient Jet Juvenile. And I'm just going to go from like post position 1 all the way to the end, okay? So 1 was that Calculator. 2, Private Prospect. 3, Blue Dancer. The Great War. Number 6, Lucky Player. 7, Texas Red. 8, Super Colossal. 9, Carpe Diem. 10 is Mr. Z. 1, Lucky Dane. 12 is Daredevil. 13 is Upstart.
Well, the one that I'll go first, the one that made me chuckle was Super Colossal because it's spelled S-O-U-P-E-R colossal, and that just made me chuckle. And then I noticed that the owner is of my neighbor. It's Chester Weber's mom at Live Oak Plantation.
They're next door.
Yeah, next door. So Super Colossal is my pick.
All right, Super Colossal. Jennifer, do you want to make a pick?
I have a pick. My pick is Calculator for two reasons. Number one, the silks are really easy to see on the TV set. And also, I think it's a cool name and will result in lots more cool named babies later on. Calculator.
I thought you were going to say it was Calculator because you suck at math. I thought that's what you were going to say. There's no comment from Jennifer.
Yeah. Very easily you get put on the couch. Yeah, not for much. I don't know. I don't know much about these horses at all, but I do love Carpe Diem. I like Todd Pletcher as a trainer. I like Windstar Farm and Stone Street Stables are the owner. So I'm going to go with Carpe Diem. So that's number 9. We're going for the winners only. I did really like the name Calculator. I like the name Daredevil. I will predict that Mr. Z will come in second place. Do I really need to say why?
Let me guess who the jockey is. Mike Smith.
Moving on. The next one, we're going to go with the Dirt Mile. The Dirt Mile, because you're going to recognize some of these names. Dirt Mile is actually on Friday. So starting with number one and working down, the favorite, Golden Sense. Number two is Carve. Three, Vickers in Trouble. Number four, Pants on Fire. Handsome Mike Scratch. So we've got Golden Ticket. Bronzo is 7. 8 is Fed Biz. 9 is Tapiture. And 10 is Big Bane Theory. Oh, God. I can tell you guys who y'all are going to pick. Glenn, you're going to pick Tapiture because Rosie Napravnik's the jockey. And
No. Wait a minute. After what we learned on Monday about a certain Rosie, I'm probably going to have to not pick Rosie.
Are you off the Rosie train?
I am off the Rosie train. That what we learned on Monday, and we won't repeat it here, kind of said it all. So,
she's a really good rider, Glenn. What are you thinking?
If I go by name, I have to go with Big Bane Theory just to piss Jamie off. So that's my right there.
Well, also, Tapiture's trainer is Steve Asmussen, and he's been in a lot of trouble, and I'm with you. I'm not loving the Rosie thing either, so I would stay away from number 9, although he's super fast. Let's just put it that way. So, Jennifer, out of all these, besides Big Bane Theory, who is, by the way, the longest shot on the board, tied with Carve, who are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with Vickers in Trouble. I love the Ramseys. They have lots of really cool horses, and I think they're cool people. And he's let me down before, so I'm going to go with him again.
Continue. Well, the easy one here is Golden Sense. He is such the heavy favorite, and he is going in just totally on top. So I'm with you guys. Since none of y'all picked him, I'm not going to pick him either, and I'm going to go with Pants on Fire because that is a horse that's been one of my favorite names in the history of racing. Pants on Fire, liar, liar, Pants on Fire. So I'll go Pants on Fire, but I really think that what we should do is play these in an exacta box with Golden Sense, just saying.
Yeah, probably. You're probably
true. Probably should put all of our horses at second, but whatever. Only one horse can come in second, so we'll see who wins. We'll take second place for the win there. All right, then we've got the Mile, which the Mile is where Wise Dan, I'm going to pour a little out for my little broken homie, Wise Dan would have been the winner. So we're going to pick who would go in second place behind Wise Dan if he was running, okay? We've got, oh my God, this cat is like meowing its head. Go away. Sorry.
Got a lot of horses in this race of the Mile. Wow.
Yeah, so I'm just going to run through them really quick. They can't have more than 15. I think 14 is the number, so probably I think one of these, they usually don't allow more than 14. So we'll start, I'll just go through them real quick. Grand Arch, obviously from Ireland, Veda from France, Mustajib from Great Britain, well, lots of horses from other countries, Toronado from Ireland, Tom's Tribute, Tygon, number 7. Number 8 is Tradestorm from Great Britain. Anodin from Ireland is number 9. Summerfront, 11. Sayad, something like that. Number 12 is Seek Again. 13, Tourist. 14, Cara Conti from Japan. And then another, what is AE? Sorry, Mr. Commons is number 15.
That's one of the Saudi Arabian countries, yeah. Arab Emirates. There you go.
Chad calls it the stands. All right, so who's your pick? Let's start with Jennifer. Ooh, I'm going with...
I'm really leaning towards one of the UK
anyway.
They tend to do well in this race. I'm going to go with Tradestorm.
Tradestorm. You guys, we're going to post these online at Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and we'd love to have your picks as well. I know some of you guys really follow this. So, Tradestorm, Glenn, who are you going to go with?
This is a tough one. There's just not a name that really jumps out at me on this one. So, you know, I'm gonna go with Seek Again, because it seems like my whole life I've been seeking again. So we'll just do Seek Again.
I think you made a wise choice, Glenn. You made a very wise choice. And since you took Seek Again, I'll go with the Irish horse, obviously. Obviously is 8-1 right now.
That kind
Seek
of
Again
there,
is
Jamie.
Right? Obviously. I'll go with obviously.
I think you've said that before, so I think that fits. That's one of your catchphrases. So, but yep. Obviously.
But I did like Seek Again, and I did like the fact that you are sticking with the anti-Rosie, not going for Tourist, who Rosie Napravnik.
Oh, I looked at Tourist, and then I saw Rosie was the rider, and I went away from it. I looked at that, and then I went away. I'm anti-Rosie now.
You are anti-Rosie. Man, one person, you know, one person says something, you just quit on her. Just quit on her. Now, another one, before we get to the classic, we got one more. And it's simply because... I am such a huge fan of the sponsor. It's 14 Hands Winery Juvenile Fillies. The 14 Hands Winery has taken over the sponsorship of the Juvenile Fillies because what do we need? Young women drinking. And I am a huge fan of young women drinking wine. I consider myself a young woman, so there you go. So we're going to go with these guys. These are all the fillies that you'll see at the Kentucky
Oaks. Oh, I know why you wanted this race. There's one horse in here, and I'll let you have it because you're going to pick it. Now I know why
of
you
course.
Wanted this race.
I know. Yes, of course. Okay, so we'll start with number 1, Feathered. 2 is Angela Renee. 3 is Danette. 4 is Conquest Eclipse. That's a really good name. Conquest Eclipse. Christina's Journey. Take Charge Brandy. You gotta love these girl names. I love it. Majestic Presence. Puka is number 8. Number 9, The Long Shot. Henny the Love Penny. That's right. Henny the Love Penny, who was... completely off the radar of the Meg. He'd never even heard of her. Number 10 is Wonder Gal. Number 11, Top Decile. And then number 12 is By the Moon. So, picks. I'm taking Henny the Love Penny. You don't even need to ask
me. I already wrote that down. Henny the Love Penny for you. I knew you'd be taking that one. Boy, if I have to pick on this one, I'm going to piss you off and go with Wonder Gal, written
Wonder
by
Gal.
Mike Smith.
Yeah, he's got to. Somebody's got to come in second place to Henny the Love Penny. So there you go.
Jen, who's coming in third?
Third place is going to go to Wonder Gal. Yeah.
Oh, also a Wonder Gal. Okay.
You know, I picked Wonder Gal because the trainer, Leah Giamonti. How can you go wrong when the trainer got a degree in theology from the Beeson Divinity School? How can you go wrong? She's got an inside track.
Why do you know that, Cliff Clavin?
So they looked her up on Facebook.
she got a divinity degree. She must have a, you know, she's got a direct line. You maybe
she's
rethink
got a direct
your
line.
Pick there, Jamie.
All right, so this time I'm going to let you guys pick first and second because we are now moving to the classic. The classic.
Oh, I didn't get yours,
you
Jamie.
Two,
it was
Henny
the Love
Penny.
Penny.
Henny the Love Penny. Thank you.
I'm feeling like I might not be the victor in these picks, but whatever. It doesn't matter. All right. Number one is Prayer for Relief. 2, Cigar Street. 3, Imperative. 4, Moreno. 5, VE Day. 6, Shared Belief. 7, Bayern. 8, Zevo. Number 9, Toast of New York. Number 10, Footbridge. Number 11, Tonalist. Number 12, Candy Boy. California Chrome is number 13. Majestic Harbor is 14. And Big Casanova is in 15. And I think he's an also-ran just in case that somebody drops off. So if you pick 15, you may be reaching a little bit. I don't know if he's confirmed. All right, so what you got? Let's start with Jennifer.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to go with Footbridge.
Footbridge, Footbridge. Okay. Good luck with that one. Who's going to come in second?
It's a long shot. Why not? If I'm going to spoil a horse's chances of winning the race, I may as well pick one that had no chance at all, you know?
And I don't even – I've never even heard of the jockey. So.
Or the trainer.
I'm going to surprise everybody. And, you know, I picked California Chrome long before anybody else did and stuck with him all along. And then he's disappointed me recently. So I am not going to pick California Chrome. I do not think that California Chrome will be in the money. I think California Chrome will be fourth or fifth. And I am going, if I go strictly by name, I have to go. I'm going to honor Halloween, which is Friday. And this race is Saturday. And I'm going to go with Candy Boy. In honor of Halloween.
Candy Boy. Nice. Candy Boy. Is that your who's coming in first?
That's who's coming in first. 20-1, baby. Big buck.
All right. All right. Well, give us a second place real quick.
Well, then I'd have to pick Tonalist for second place.
Because California Chrome's apparently coming in fourth or fifth, according to you. You know, I am very frustrated with Art Sherman telling everybody how wonderful his horse is training all the time. You know, I guess they're just asking for clothes all the time.
He was training wonderful before he lost the last race, too.
I know. I'm like, why do you guys do that? Why don't you tamp down everybody's expectations a little bit instead of build them up? With that being said, I want California Chrome to win really bad. I'd like him to be Horse of the Year, and I'm going to pick him as first. But they still need to chill out. Everybody in that camp needs to shut up. Seriously. But whatever.
Now, who are you going for second? Candy Boy? You going Candy Boy for 2 seconds?
Not going to go Candy Boy. And, I'm such a huge fan of this horse, and it just screams second place and that Shared Belief. He is the favorite. So I am kind of reaching out there with California Chrome, but Shared Belief is just training like a monster. I love him. I like Tonalist, too, but I'm going to go with California Chrome Shared Belief, the 1 and 2.
All right. You guys are all going to be shocked when Candy Boy comes across the finish line first.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. We will be shocked. All right. So there you go. That's our Breeders' Cup picks. We'll post the link to this online, and you guys can make your picks as well, and we'll see how you fare with those of us who know nothing about what we're talking about. So you don't
Jennifer,
go betting our picks.
Let's just do a simple post on Facebook. Who is your – and post a link to this page here we have here. Who is your pick for the classic? Let's just stick to that and find out who everybody's picks for the classic are. Well, let's hear from Back on Track, and then we're going over across the pond to Victoria Spicer with horseandcountry.tv.
Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
Well, it is time for our European report with Horse and Country TV, and every week we have Victoria Spicer that joins us, and she is here. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
Hey, is the Breeders' Cup a big thing over there, or do you guys not even know it happens?
It's quite a big thing among the racing media, and I think half of them go out there every single year. So I would say all the racing journalists are obsessed by it and talking about nothing else, but I don't think your average racing fan follows it that much.
So the media follows it because it's a free trip to the United States. Is what I'm trying to
do. I didn't say that at all. Yeah.
So does that mean you're heading over to California?
I wish. It's so unfair. I need to have a chat to my bosses at Horse and Country. I'm afraid not. I've still not been racing in America, despite having been over there 3 times, still never been racing.
Well, you know, Jamie's going to be there, and there's probably a seat in the nosebleed section where she's going to be, where you won't even see a horse. But there's probably a seat up there still available if you want to join her.
Surely Jamie should have like VIP seats and in like a box over the finish line.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm sitting. How did you know? Wow.
They should have said.
Victoria, I'll be lucky if I can see horses from my seat. Oh, wait, somebody just said they ran by. Who won? But that's okay. It's not important right now.
Make sure your phone is charged up so you can watch NBC app on your phone so you can actually see the race. So bring that along. Mm-hmm. Make sure your TV is ready.
Good point. Breeders' Cup online.
That's right. Well, now, what's new before we get to Horse and Country TV? What's new in your life? You got a pony, you had 2 ponies. I'm not sure if you're down to 1 yet, but what's new with you?
I still have 2 ponies. I've got a couple of people coming to see my older horse this week, so fingers crossed I can find him a lovely home. It's becoming a bit of an ongoing saga. I don't know if you saw my pictures yesterday. That's from a photo shoot I did earlier this summer, and that's with my little 5-year-old. So she's very photogenic, much more than me.
No, you both were beautiful in those pictures. I saw those pictures, and they were terrific pictures.
Oh, thank you. They're taken by another equestrian journalist who's doing more and more photography, and she came out to my yard and did a photo shoot. And she's obviously very talented if she can make me look reasonably photogenic, because generally I hate pictures of myself.
Now, you got all dressed up, too. You had to get all girly girl for those pictures.
Well, I thought I'd get out of my usual mud-covered breeches and wear something a little bit smarter.
You looked very nice. They were terrific.
Oh,
well, good luck with selling your pony. You had a story on Horse and Country, and we had the opportunity actually yesterday for the Eventing Radio Show. I was on the call to talk to Ingrid Klimka, who won her first CCI 4-star in Poe. And so you had an article about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't believe it's the start of the new FEI Classic series. You know, you think of the eventing series coming to an end, but no, that's the first one of the 2014-2015 season. So here we go again. Poe, as you, well, I'm sure you know, is in the southwest of France. And I was quite surprised to discover in our report that the ground was quite hard and it caused some trouble. So British hopes were lying with William Fox Pitt, but he was on the cross country and he decided to pull up one horse, saying that the ground was too hard, and then he didn't run his other horse at all. So he'd been in with a good chance of giving Ingrid a run for her money, but it wasn't to be, and it wasn't the best event for the Brits. So well done to Ingrid, though, for a superb performance.
You know, she was on the show. If you want to hear that, you can just go to eventingradio.com to the latest episode with the Nate and Joe episode. And she was a terrific guest. She was so, so excited, Victoria. You know, usually the Germans, when we interview them, are a little more reserved. And, you know, they're not, they don't, They're not overly animated. She was off the wall animated and just was so excited to have won this thing. So good for her.
That's great to hear. And yes, every time I've been somewhere where she's been competing, she's always been full of jokes and in good humor. She does make me laugh. Talking of Germans not being as animated, I think Michael Jung is obviously one of the most amazing riders in the world, and he's just so cool. He doesn't get excited, and on the other hand, he doesn't get devastated either, or if he does, he does a very good job of showing it. And I remember a couple of years ago he came to badminton and he was in the lead after dressage, and he came to the press conference and he's like, yeah, very pleased, my horse is good. And then the next day he was in the lead after cross country and he came to the press conference and said, yep, very pleased, my horse is good. And then on the last day, all he had to do was jump the show jumping line, jump clear, and he had the title, and he always jumps clear, he's brilliant. And he had the very last fence down so that Jock Padgett won. And he came to the press conference and went, yes, it's one of these things, my horse is good. And so it did make me laugh. You know, he just lost the title. It's the only time he competed at badminton, and it all went wrong at the last fence. And he was just nonchalant and smiling and perfectly charming.
You know, he is a tough interview, though, and I'm sure you've interviewed him. He's a tough interview because he gives you those short little answers, and it's like, okay, well, this is going to be a 30-second spot here.
It does indeed, but I always do wonder when we've been at big championships and things like WEG, and you go down to the mix zone and you're watching all the different journalists interview, and suddenly when they're speaking in their native tongue, they become a lot more talkative. So I guess there is a lot of the language barrier coming into play.
Well, you know who else? Like, I want to ask you and Jamie this, actually. We had Aaron Sylvester on, who was the highest placing United States rider on the Eventing Radio Show also, and she came in sixth. And, you know, one of the things she said in that interview that shocked me is they talked all about cross-country. She said about cross-country, said, whatever, it was okay. And then she is terrified, apparently, every time she goes into show jumping. She hates show jumping. She's terrified by show jumping. And it's been a problem for her. Do you guys find that? Or, you know, I always thought that, you know, you'd be terrified by cross country and then show jumping would be like, oh, you know, I'll get through this.
I guess, you know, it's got more and more competitive in show jumping, and the fences at four-star are getting really quite huge. I think they're kind of 1.30 meters, which isn't far off what the professional show jumpers are doing at Grand Prix level. So I think it's got so much more difficult, and event riders are known for their brave, gutsy riding across country, and the next day having to reduce that and be very accurate and concise. It's a very different style of riding. So yeah, lots of them will say it's their least favorite phase. And I guess it's so influential, and you can have a really good placing and then throw it away on the final day.
That's true. I mean, it does all come down to that.
I always hate
everybody
watching. That's the worst part.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think I'm most terrified in dressage by far. I love show jumping. I love cross country. I go in for dressage and I'm like, every little movement that I make is being written down and judged harshly. It's not a loving, supportive environment in dressage. It's like how bad is her best effort right now? And that's what they write down. So that's what I think of dressage.
Yeah, I don't think that at all. I love dressage because if something was terribly wrong, you can just kind of take a deep breath and carry on and still get some good marks. Whereas when you're doing show jumping or cross country, the minute you get a fence down or have a refusal, you've got a whacking great 20 penalties or whatever on your score. And so I prefer the dressage. I think it helps that I've done more pure dressage than I have done eventing. So I'm still happiest when all four feet are on the ground.
It also
that's
helps
not an adventure. That's not what adventures say.
It also helps.
I just end up with event horses. I don't know how I do it. I guess because I keep getting off the track thoroughbreds, and that's one of the most natural things they can do. And it's just that my first X-race horse is good at dressage. But I just do whatever my horses are good at doing rather than what I particularly want to do.
You know, and it also helps that you're not an emotional mess like Jamie. She hates being critiqued and judged. So, I mean, that's probably helpful.
On something. Some things I can take it.
Now you had a great picture on Horse and Country TV. This was a terrific picture. It has to be the picture of the year. And I know it's for a rescue and everything, but it was the picture of the year. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. The article was called "A Muddy Rescue for a Horse Stuck in a Ditch." And we, by the way, we get hundreds of these every year that we take a look at, and we talk about some of them on the show. All the different rescues that are out there, but this picture is a classic.
It is. I love it. And if you, what's even more telling about this story is if you look in the background, it seems to be quite a nice green field, but this horse has still managed to fall into the one muddy ditch in the field. I don't know how they do it. It's like a kind of beacon. As soon as they sense danger, that's where they head to. And so this poor mare was in her field and she slipped and fell into the ditch and couldn't get back out. And she was rescued. They had to get 15 firefighters to come and put belts around her and lift her out of this ditch. But she is just absolutely plastered. She's a chestnut mare, and you can barely tell. She's just every inch of her is covered in what could be described as black slurry. It's quite disgusting. So the next time you bring your horse in from the field and it's covered in mud, you should check out these pictures. It will make you feel better.
Yes, it was. You need to go over to horseandcountry.tv just to see the picture of this guy and his horse, because it looks like a statue. And actually, the horse actually is so covered in mud, it looks like a statue. it's so cool. Well, and let's see here. What else did we have on the lineup? You have your video of the week.
Yeah, we've got a great little preview here of a new episode of our popular Yard Talking Masterclass series, which is when we go out and we talk to professional riders, find out about their career and their life and how they got involved in horses, and then they'll give us a half-hour masterclass on a certain topic. And this one is with 25-year-old event rider Laura Collette, who has had an amazing career. She's won lots of medals through the junior and young rider ranks, and she's competing at four-star level. There's two really remarkable things about Laura, one of which is that she rides Cottle Star, one of the most famous racehorses in Britain. She's retrained him after his racing career ended, so you can see him in this video clip, and he seems to spend the whole clip trying to nibble Laura's jacket while she chats to camera. It's quite sweet. And she's also very famous because last summer she had a terrible, terrible fall, and it left her with just quite remarkable injuries, and she made a really good recovery and is now back eventing at the top level. But she's been left an injury from that fall that has had a big effect on her riding career, and it's quite interesting. So check out the video to find out a bit more. And if you're in the UK, do watch the show. It's currently showing on Horse and Country.
You know, Laura is also, I've seen pictures of her, and for some reason, when she's jumping cross-country jumps, she makes the weirdest faces. So when you see her, she always looks terrified or like she's going to die of a heart attack before she ever hits the ground. It's funny. Some riders, you know, you've seen those. There's some riders that when they get the pictures of them doing the cross-country jumps, they're all calm, cool, and collected, and their face doesn't change much. And then there's some riders that every time they go over a jump, they look like they're going to die of a heart attack. And she's had some funny ones. And also the blog of the week.
Yeah, we've got another new blog from one of our team of writers, and this one is by Anna Edwards. She's a rising show jumping star. And Anna, you know, she's trying to make it in the world of show jumping, and she's had a couple of real mega star horses that have had to go on to other riders. So the first one that she made went on to be sold to Tina Fletcher, and then she had another one that she got up to the top, and the owner moved it, and I think it's now being competed by Billy Toomey, Ireland's one of Ireland's top show jumpers as well. And now she's got this new horse and it's coming to the top, and she basically talks about how she doesn't like the idea of saying, oh, this is my horse of a lifetime, or I've had my horse of a lifetime, because she's saying she's produced these horses from scratch, she's got them up to the top, and they, for whatever reason, left her yard. But she has got another one, and she's doing it again and again. And it's quite reassuring to think, you know, if you've had that partnership with a horse, don't just assume that's the only time you'll have that, and that you can work to produce and get that same bond or same performance with another horse in the future. So it's quite an inspirational read.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Victoria. We appreciate you stopping by. One more quick question. What are you dressing up as for Halloween?
I'm not going to any Halloween parties. I feel really upset. And I'm on quite a small competition yard, so we're not having a kind of fancy dress jumping competition or anything. So I might just get dressed up on my own and sit at my desk and do my work on Friday.
That's sad.
Drink
That's
some
sad,
wine,
Victoria.
Be dressed in costume, watching TV. I could see it. I'd do it.
Indeed. And I'm also dreading the trick-or-treat thing, because for the last couple of years I've bought some chocolates or candy just in case any children come around, and they never do, and then I end up eating the chocolate, which is not good. I'm trying to be unhealthy, so I think I might just switch all the lights off and move my car and pretend I'm not home.
That is such a Grinch thing. Just get glow sticks or granola bars or something healthy. Here you go, have an apple.
That is pretty much all my cupboard is full of, is healthy snacks. I'm not sure what they think of getting a rice cake.
Yeah, you know, back when we were trick-or-treating, it wasn't rice cakes. Grandmas used to make popcorn balls. We used to hate to get popcorn balls. They were great for throwing at people's cars and houses, though. They were terrific for that.
Heck yeah. So.
Thank you, Victoria.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it. Bye-bye. Well, let's go from the lovely, sweet docile tones of Victoria Spicer to the lovely, sweet docile tones of Jamie Jennings talking about manure.
Well, I'm like, what are you talking? I'm not going to sing. I know the song's coming up. I'm not going to sing. Do you have a song of mine? All right. Well, we want to talk to you about our friends at Mill Creek Spreaders. They've been in business for almost 30 years, and they continuously improve designs to meet the needs of horse owners like you. And Mill Creek models are virtually maintenance and trouble-free thanks to their exclusive sealed bearings, and they're the only compact spreaders you're going to find that have those. Mill Creek customer service is also second to none. Call them and you'll reach a knowledgeable person on their own factory right there in Pennsylvania. With 8 models available, they're happy to help you choose the right spreader for your budget and for your barn. 5 models can be pulled with an ATV or garden tractor. 5 of them. You don't have to have a huge tractor. And also, if you'd rather have a PTO than ground drive, they've got those too, PTO. All Mill Creek spreaders have the lowest sides and tongue weight of any on the market for easy loading and easy hitching. And add their exclusive dolly wheel jack stands, and you can easily move your spreader in the barn by yourself, even when it's fully loaded. That's pretty cool. Often, if the body on a spreader rusts, that means it's time for a new one, but you won't have to worry about rust again. Consider the Mill Creek SS line. They are the world's first and only compact manure spreaders built out of stainless steel, and they're warranted against rust through for life. For life. Like, your entire life. So the best compact manure spreading equipment you can buy, if you want it, check out Mill Creek's lineup. Years of trouble-free operation will get you out of the barn faster and give you more time with your horses. So you can give them a call today, 800-311-1323, or visit them at millcreekspreaders.com.
And thank you to Mill Creek for their continued support of Horses in the Morning. Well, our celebrity trivia contestant today is, you're going to meet her very shortly. Her name is Kristen Harris, and she is a singer and a songwriter and has had some quite a year. We'll tell you why. But I have one of her songs for you today. It's What a Horse Got to Do, and she is a throwback to the old country singers and western singers of yesteryear, yet she is only like 19 years old. So let's take a listen. She's an old soul.
A horse has got to do what a horse has got to do. Dignified and graceful, but kind of goofy too. 1,000 pounds of might, but you hot-tail at the sight of a crumpled. Get as wet as you.
And that is our celebrity trivia player today. Kristen Harris will be with us in just a minute to take on one of our listeners in the Equity MFG Celebrity Trivia Challenge. And we are Horses in the Morning. I am Gwenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. If you haven't had a chance yet, stop on over to our Horses in the Morning page and fill out who you think is going to win the Classic, and we'll see who picked the winners here on Monday. A couple of you have started to do that. And also, this episode is brought to you by Back on Track Products. Find all of their great therapeutic products at backontrackproducts.com. Well, before we get to celebrity trivia, there was something that happened. I get up on Saturday morning, and the first thing I do, I just relax, don't have to get ready for a show, and I watch Shark Tank. Now, do you watch Shark Tank, Jamie?
I love Shark Tank. I don't watch it religiously.
We agree on a show?
I do. I love it because I get, like, I'm the opposite of you. You like seeing people's dreams get crushed. I like seeing them give people money. Like, it makes me really happy. I get emotional.
I don't really like seeing people's dreams get crushed.
I know. You're not totally heartless. You just have a weird sense of humor. I do like the show. I can't say I watch it religiously, but I have seen it before, and I do like it. So this was pretty awesome.
Last week, at the end of the show, and everybody kind of knows the premise. I think everybody's probably run across it. These people come out in front of five sharks that have lots of money, and they give their proposal, and the sharks either give them money or not. And a little inside information about how that show is run is you get to see them on air for about 10 minutes, but they are coached a lot ahead of time on how to do their presentation. And we get to see the edited version of about 10 minutes. Their segment runs anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half that they're actually in front of the judges. So it runs from an hour to an hour and a half each.
Thank
and the
God.
Judges sit there all day long, and they do one right after another. They'll do 10 or 15 in a day. So they each get an hour to an hour and a half. We only see 10 minutes of it. So you know the questions they're getting in between time are much more detailed than what we're seeing. So at the end of the show, this is what happens. This is from Jimmy Kimmel's show, and you'll hear what happens.
As you may or may not know, I'm a bit of an entrepreneur. Did you know I invented Dippin' Dots? That's absolutely true. I am always on the lookout for the next big business opportunity. So on Friday night, I teamed up with Guillermo, and we made a pitch together. We had a really great idea, so we took it to the place where great concepts become reality. We took it to a place where we knew our pitch would be appreciated and heard.
Next into the tank is a late-night talk show host and his sidekick, who feel they have a solution to a disturbing problem.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Kimmel, and this is my partner, Guillermo, and I want to tell you a story. Years ago, I took my family to a petting zoo, and I was disturbed by what I saw, and more importantly, what my family saw. Every animal there was naked. Buck naked. My family was uncomfortable, but most importantly, I was uncomfortable. And I'm sure the animals were uncomfortable, too. But then I thought, every problem is an opportunity, and every opportunity is a gift. And today, my gift to you is this, the future of equine fashion. I present to you horse pants. Say hello to my model and my business partner, Buttercup. As you can see, he's wearing Docker-style khakis. They're comfortable, fashionable, and business casual, appropriate for the track or the barn. Guillermo and I are looking for $500,000 for a 10% stake in our company. We have plans for a full line of horse pants. You can see here, we have a logo. We have cargo shorts for horses. And even Spanx. We brought samples for all of you.
And he goes on with that. You can see the video. Just go on and search for it. You'll find it on Google.
Post it. Post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook
page. Oh, I will.
It needs to be seen.
Funny. It was funny. And the pants actually came up from the bottom of the back legs all the way to the middle of the belly. They had a belt. I mean, they look like pants. And the cargo pants are really funny. But the whole thing was on. It was very funny.
It was very funny, and I found it even more entertaining that what I was actually looking at, I was like, how are they keeping the horse from slipping? And I think they had easy boots on him, and I was just like, that's what I was looking at. Like, okay, what do they have on the horse's feet to make sure he's protected and not slipping around on the Shark Tank floor?
Buttercup was a Palomino, right, if I remember
right?
Yeah.
Adorable horse. Just adorable. So we'll post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page so you guys can see it. It was very cute. And the fact that how dry he was, like, horse.
I know. Of course.
It's so great.
I was so embarrassed at the zoo. All right, it is time.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
All right, and we have our celebrity here today for the Equity MFG Celebrity Trivia Challenge. But before we get to that, we just have to mention that Equity is the sponsor, and it's appropriate that we were talking about Mill Creek spreaders earlier, because the best manure fork in the world to put your poo in the spreader is Equity. They make the shaken fork and the flexin fork. I think, Jamie, from what we've heard, about half our listening audience now has them. We just have to convince the other half to do this for Christmas. If you want to give a gift that will keep on giving this Christmas time, and you need to get your orders in soon, you need to order the flexin fork or the shaken fork. And I guarantee you, every day next year, whoever you give this to will be thanking you, whether it's a fellow person in the barn, a fellow boarder, or the barn manager would love it if you get a gift for the barn manager. Your spouse would love one. As a horse husband, if you get me the flexin fork, I'm not going to be as excited as you get me the shaken fork, which is mechanical and actually does something. It's like a super tool, and guys love tools, so you'll find them cleaning your stalls more. I love cleaning the stalls when I get to use the shaken fork. So, and if you're doing paddocks, things like that, you want the flexin fork. Take a look at them for Christmas. We have several of our listeners that have already told us they're asking for them for Christmas. So this is a wonderful holiday gift coming up. EquityMFG.com. We're welcoming to our show right now, and I'm very excited to have her back. She's been on the Horse Radio Network before. She's a musician, but more importantly, she is the 2014 Academy of Western Artists Female Performer of the Year. And Kristen Harris, at a very young age, congratulations for getting that on.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
You know, that is quite exciting, and you really have single-handedly in your generation, you know, at the age group you are, you really are bringing back a type of music that died out a little bit for your generation, don't you think?
Yeah, that's very true, and I hate that it was dying out at all, so it's just great style of music that I love.
You know, I said before I introduced your song that you were an old soul. I think that fits.
Yeah, I've been told that before.
I bet. Now, you also had something else exciting happen. Tell us about the movie in Germany, the film.
Oh, well, that was pretty cool. It's a documentary, and it focusing on American cowboy and cowgirl music. And it was a film crew from Austria, actually, who came over last year and filmed me and three other performers doing music and also with our horses and things like that. And then they just aired it over in four European countries a couple weeks ago. So that was pretty cool. I got a lot of response from over there.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? You're going to be as big as David Hasselhoff over in Germany. Holy cow! You and the Hoff.
You hope that you sell as much as David has over there, don't you?
Right. You and the Hoff girl going to make money together.
It's going to take a lot of 99-cent downloads on iTunes, so.
Yeah. A lot of Germans.
Do they? Is it big over there? Is cowboy and country music, Western music, big over there?
Yeah, actually, it kind of is. They really get into it a lot more than Americans do. I think maybe it's more of a novelty to them, so they're just really enthusiastic about it.
I'm sorry, I got to jump in here because I would love for your music to replace the god-awful stick a pitchfork in my ear Florida Georgia Line country rap crap that is on the radio right now. My God, I'll stick a plastic fork in my ear if it'll stop. Stop it! People, you don't need to take your shirt off and have a chain wallet if you're a country music singer. My God, I agree.
You probably don't see too many people doing that at the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering, do you?
No.
Why not?
Thank goodness.
Those guys definitely don't need to take their shirts off. God love them.
And, those cowboys are the ones that probably should be taking their shirts off. So we got it all backwards here. Well, congratulations, Kristen. I know we've had you on, our shows before, and we play your music here, and we really appreciate you doing what you do to bring back a whole generation of music to a new generation of listeners. So congratulations for that.
Thank you. And thanks for having me. I love the Horse Radio Network.
Well, we appreciate you, too. Tell us who your charity is.
I would like my charity to be Mangate Therapeutic Horsemanship, which is in my hometown here, and I volunteered there for several years. And they do use horses for disabled children, and it's pretty cool.
Well, we'll definitely do that, and Jennifer's going to tell us what the prize is, and then we're going to meet your challenger today.
All right.
Today's prize is brought to you by Willie Bakery. Willie Bakery makes delicious and nutritious horse and dog treats that your furry friends will really enjoy. Each flavor of Willie Muffin's horse treats begins with a mixture of oats, flour, molasses, and water. Next, a special mix of flavors is added for lip-smacking finish. By special, we mean really special, like banana raisin, vanilla, tropical, carrot, graham cracker, watermelon, and peanut butter and jelly. You can find Willie Bakery horse treats at your local meat suppliers, or you can visit them online at williebakery.com. Now, I think P.T. Scooter's favorite was the peanut butter and jelly, I think. Isn't that the ones that are like...
He likes anything sweet. Yeah. He likes anything sweet, yep.
Yum.
So there, I think that the therapeutic riding horses would love that. So
I think they would.
Let's hope they get that. Well, let's meet your challenger. And your challenger actually is a listener who was just out at our farm last weekend, rode with Jennifer, and her name is Denise Raymond. She lives right here in Ocala, Florida. Hey, Denise.
Hello. Good morning.
And I got to tell you, Kristen, that Denise has the best spotted horse. It looks like a Dalmatian on steroids. So,
aww, a leopard Appaloosa.
Yes, she's my girl.
Aww.
She's so cool. She has the best ears. Her ears are so expressive. It's so cute.
Yes, they are, especially when they're going backwards.
Yeah, I know about that, especially with mares.
Yeah, she is definitely a mare, but she's a great trail mare.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're not going to let anybody cheat here, only because Jennifer's been riding with Denise. Jennifer, did you make her questions easier? I probably should read ahead. Let's see here.
I don't know. Kristen's been around horses forever, so she's got a shot here. She's been around horses forever.
I better be quiet about all the education Jennifer gave me last weekend then.
Oh, boy.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, Jamie, play the rule.
All right, so here's how this goes. I'm going to ask the questions that Jennifer has written. Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com is the email. If you don't like the questions or you disagree with the questions, just email her. So the questions are, I will ask Denise one, then I will go to Kristen, and we will go back and forth and back and forth, three questions apiece. And then if we need to get to the tiebreaker, we will get to the tiebreaker. Does that sound good for you guys?
Yeah.
Good to be.
We good? Right, Denise, Kristen?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, you bet.
I have my bell ready for the right answers, and I have the heist. You'll recognize this, Kristen. See if you recognize this. The high school basketball buzzer. Yes, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Gives me chills. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to start with Denise. Denise, true or false? True or false? According to FEI rules, a pony can be of any height as long as it competes without shoes.
False.
That's correct.
Seriously?
That's a strict question.
That's like the stupidest thing. Somebody says that to you, just, yeah, that's stupid.
I had to think about it going, well, maybe it is true.
I don't know anything about FEI, but that does not sound plausible to me.
My horse is 17 hands, but by God, he's barefoot. He's a pony. Yeah. And we'll move to Kristen. Kristen, true or false for you? 50-50 shot. A feral horse in Australia is called a Brumby, which means tough or difficult in German. True or false?
True that it's called a Brumby, yeah. Is it true or false whether, I guess the whole thing. I'll say true.
I think it was.
Sorry.
I think your thought was right about what the question was, yeah.
A feral horse in Australia is called a Brumby, but that does not mean tough or difficult in German.
Okay.
How does German come to play?
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that part.
See, I'm telling you what, email your complaints to Jennifer because Denise is going to get some easier questions, I'm telling you, because they're like BFFs now. All right, just kidding. All right, number two, we're going to move to Denise. This is your question. It is multiple choice, so wait to hear all the answers before you answer. The gene sequence responsible for all Appaloosa color patterns is called what? The gene sequence responsible for Appaloosa color patterns is called what? Is it A, snowcap genes, B, tutti alleli, or the C, leopard complex?
Wow.
A, B, or C?
I guess I'll go with B.
Tutti alleli is not correct, my friend. I'm so sorry. I wouldn't have known that one either, but you do have an Appaloosa. It is the leopard complex. So now you know.
Now I know, and I have leopards. I should know that.
I've been corrected in my pronunciation. Jennifer said it's allelial. Whatever. Same thing. No, but it's wrong.
It sounds like something she made up anyway.
Exactly. All right, now we're going to move to Kristen. Kristen, this is your question. It is also multiple choice.
Okay.
The horse's hock is a composite joint made up of how many levels of articulation, which means it's really more than one joint. Is it 2, 4, or 6? How many joints are in the hock? 2, 4, or 6?
Wow. I'm going to say 2.
The hock has 4 joints.
Oh.
The tarsofemoral, proximal intertarsal, distal intertarsal, and tarsometatarsal. Yeah.
Wow. I studied that once in 4-H.
Well, they do four hocks. They only inject the bottom two, which are non-motion joints. So there are 4. Sorry about that. So currently, it is 1-2-0. So you got to, if you get this one right, Denise, you win. Am I right with saying that, Glenn?
Nope. That is correct. That is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is right.
I'm
yep.
sorry, Jennifer. This is the easiest question I think we've ever had on this show.
I know. I thought that, too, actually.
I'm told.
Are you
I'm giving
it's
her.
Rigged?
Yeah, it's rigged. I'm going to give her Kristen's final question. We're going to switch it up here. I'm making an executive decision to make it a
You're
little
the host,
harder.
You can do that.
Exactly. All right. Denise, you're going to take Kristen's final question here.
Okay.
We're making up audible. All right. What? There's no multiple choice. What is a female mule called?
It's either a Molly or a Jenny.
5 seconds.
Give me an answer. 5 seconds.
Molly.
Got That's Jenny. Right. She got it right.
Just by the skin of her teeth there, it is a Molly. I was
I'm thinking Molly Mule. You know, you hear that saying, Molly Mule. So.
Well,
you got it. I don't know
it.
That you helped out Kristen much here, but let's see if Kristen can get Denise's question now.
Kristen, this is Denise's final question, and I was just going to call a little bit of BS here and just get and give this softball to you. This is Jennifer's final question for Denise, her BFF. What color? What color, Kristen, is Roy Rogers' famous horse Trigger?
Oh my goodness, that would be Palomino.
Woo! Seriously? The
Good
easiest
job.
Question in the history of our game, yes, was going to go to Denise. I am. I knew it. I'm going to throw in the, she's throwing in the towel for you, Denise. But you know what? It doesn't matter because you won anyway. But mm-hmm. do you guys want to participate in the tiebreaker just for fun?
Sure.
Sure.
All right. So Denise wins the Willie Bakery Prize. For more information, head on to williebakery.com. And I think after hearing Jennifer read that commercial, I want to go to Willie Bakery and order them for myself because mm-hmm. they sounded delicious. All right, so here's how the tiebreaker works. It's called Name That Movie. And I'm going to begin to read clues. And when you know what the movie is, you are going to use your name as your buzzer. So when you know what the movie is, yell out your own name, and then don't yell out somebody else's name. Yell out your own name, and I will call on you, and you will get to answer. Does this sound good?
Sure.
Sure.
All right. Well, Denise, you sound super excited. Great. Whatever. All right. Here we go. I'm just going to keep reading. Originally released in 1969... by Paramount Pictures. The story follows two U.S. Marshals chasing down a killer while simultaneously trying to ditch the victim's daughter, Maddie Harris, who hired them to do the job.
Glenn!
No, Glenn. You don't get to play.
Don't get the answer? Oh.
The remake of this Western in 2010 starred Matt Damon and Jeff Bridges.
Oh,
I know what
Come
it
on,
is.
Guys.
I can't.
Kristen.
I saw the movie True Grit. Oh, Denise.
Yes, that's right.
Kristen said it. Kristen said it first.
Yes.
Kristen, you win. Denise just couldn't contain herself. That was adorable.
I was trying to think. I'm like, I saw that movie.
Kristen,
well,
I think I've seen that movie about 50 times. I think.
I know. I love that.
I know.
I've
me
seen
too.
Both versions.
Yeah.
Roz, well,
Rooster Cogburn.
Yep. And Denise wins the prize, Willie Bakery, so congratulations. But the good news is, Kristen, you're not going home empty-handed. You can brag all day saying that you won the tiebreaker.
Yes, sure.
So there you go.
And, you know, we have to throw in, too, that Denise does not have a movie about her in Germany right now, making her a superstar. So,
yes, that is
something.
Right.
Yeah.
I have no claim to fame at all besides being on the Horse Radio Network.
that's
awesome, enough.
Though.
That is enough. That's all anybody
that's
ever
needs. That's a dollar. That and a dollar will get you a pack of gum, girl. Good luck.
All right.
Thank you, Denise, for being on, and thank you for coming out to HRN Radio Ranch last weekend and riding. That was fun.
Okay.
And Kristen, Thank you so much for coming on. You're a good sport. And
you
your
bet.
Website's what?
KristenHarris.com.
And it's KristyN is how you spell Kristen. By the way, I spell that wrong every time I try and look you up.
That's okay. It's a common thing.
Every single time.
Very.
But congratulations on all your success, and keep it up, girl.
Thank you. I enjoyed this.
Oh, my gosh.
You,
she's so sweet. I adore her. I'm a huge fan.
You have
she
to
and the
look.
Hoff are going to be hanging out. I'm telling you.
I know. Hoff's way too old for her. Now, go to KristenHarris.com and take a look at her pictures. She is the cutest cowgirl you're ever going to see, ever.
God.
Just go check
she's
out
adorable.
Her pictures. She is adorable. And she's some great
adorable.
Music. You can also go to iTunes and download all of her music at KristenHarris.com. So if you're a fan of cowboy and old Western music, done with a new sound and a new feel by a young 20-year-old, then you have to go see Kristen Harris. She's a lot of fun. Well, that's it for today, Jamie. We're going to wrap up. You know, I wanted to mention one other thing that relates to the Breeders' Cup, and that is that Windstar is doing their Stablemates program contest again for the Breeders' Cup. Its contest is now open. You go to Windstar Stablemates website at windstarstablemates.com. And what they're doing is it's a contest test where players pick two horses for each race, and for every one you get right, you earn points calculated by the horse's earnings. And if you're the top winner on their website, the prizes this year include two tickets to the 2015 Breeders' Cup. Where's that? Do we know? Is it in Kentucky?
I think it's in Kentucky or
so
Saratoga, one of those.
Oh, you know, it might
yeah.
be Saratoga.
Saratoga.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But then you get VIP farm tours. They have Stablemates memberships, gifts baskets from Windstar, stallion apparel, you know, all different kinds of stuff they're doing as prizes. They did this last year, and it was a lot of fun. So if you want to just have a little fun, it's free and easy to do. Just go over to WindstarStablemates.com. And if you have never seen Windstar Farms in Kentucky, it is absolutely the most beautiful farm you're ever going to see, just hands down. It's great.
Now, speaking of games to play, I haven't entered yet. And I'm going to look for the website, and I will post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. But if you go on, it's something to do like on the Breeders' Cup website. If you go on and you pick all the horses in order from 1 through 15 and you get them in order, you can win $1 million. I don't know what the entry fee is, though. I bet it's pretty pricey. But I don't know. I think I'm gonna play. I got this.
He's making that
a
dollar
winner.
Because how many people are gonna get that? I mean, that's not gonna happen too often. Mm-hmm. So
I know. I'm gonna enter. That's what I'm gonna do.
And you know, they announced too. One of the other things going on that we haven't mentioned this weekend coming up is the National Horse Show, and that's happening. The National Horse Show is happening at the Kentucky Horse Park. Well, they were a little concerned about people staying home to watch the Breeders' Cup. So Keeneland is bringing over betting machines to the National Horse Park, and you will be able to pair a mutual bet at the horse show at the horse park this weekend. So,
awesome! That's so cool.
So if you're there for the jumper show going on or any of the other activities over there at the National Horse Show, you can get your betting in. You will not have to leave the building. So there you go.
We'll take your money no matter what.
Jamie will be off on Friday. She's heading out to California. She has to get her horse trailer ready to pick up a rescue horse out there and also go to the Breeders' Cup. And we have Lisa Wysocki, the author who has been on with us many times. It's so funny, Jamie, when I wrote to her and said, do you want to fill in for Jamie on Friday? She said, do I get to do the really funny ads? And I said, yes, you do. So she has done it once before, and she loves doing the funny ads. So she'll be joining us on Friday. We have some fun guests planned for you. So tune in on Friday. And you have a terrific trip there, Jamie.
Thank you very much, Glenn. You guys have a great weekend. I guess rest of your week. Yeah, I got to go pack. I got to get Halloween ready. I got to go get Breeders' Cup ready. I got a dress, so you guys will have to wait because I'm going to be in that. What was that giant contest with judge me on how my appearance? I need to enter that.
Miss Connecticut. Yes. Do you have a hat or a fascinator, by the way?
I got a fascinator off Amazon.com.
You did?
So we will see. I did.
I want pictures. Now, did you get a new dress? Are you going to be all dolled up?
I went to Ross Dress for Less, and I spent a whopping $8.99 on a night's dress.
No, that's all you really have to spend. You're only going to wear it once anyway, so who cares?
$8.99, baby. And the fascinator was like $20, but then I had to get it like shipped overnight. So it should be here today or tomorrow, and I got two-day shipping. And the fascinator shipping cost more than the fascinator, the dress, and the shoes I bought. So just the shipping. So we'll see how it goes.
I can't believe you bought a fascinator. This is going to be fun to see you. I have never seen you dressed up like that. So
oh my gosh, I got new heels and everything. I'm going to live it up. I am in California in Los Angeles at the Breeders' Cup.
You should Miss Connecticut in the best dressed contest.
Not a chance. Not a chance. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Everybody have a great week. Spay, neuter,
that whole
geld.
Dressage thing again. It's that whole dressage thing.
You're right.
Not look at
it's
me.
It's an issue I have. Don't look at me. I'm hideous.
I want pictures.
I'm
going to
get an inclusion. I'm going to get a
moon. Dad,
he's not, but we have really great Halloween costumes. We're going as the cast of Full House. Yeah, I'm Kimmy Gibbler. I'm going as Kimmy Gibbler. You'll get pictures of that, too.
Okay.